Have you ever collected toad eggs and hatched tadpoles? Or watched baby ladybugs hatching from eggs? That's what my family has been doing this week. It's the perfect season for nature study, and we invite you to join us for Magnify, a wild and wonderful summer adventure by Nat Theo. Discover God's creation right where you live as you find frogs, butterflies, animal tracks, birds, and so much more. Become a junior naturalist for God's kingdom. Join today at nattheo.com/magnify to access the full summer guide and tune in for live video classes where you will learn from me and share your discoveries with other students. Don't wait. Join today, start exploring, and get ready for our live video classes in Magnify at nattheo.com/magnify or the link in our show notes.
Hello world, wake me up to another good morning, time to go.
Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynham. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and his created world with you. Hi, listeners. Today, we are answering some super fun nature questions that you kids are asking. I love hearing your questions because they spark my own curiosity. You ask questions that I never even would have thought of to ask. And I am so glad you do, because those questions can help us uncover the marvelous mysteries of what God has made. Before we get to today's questions, let's thank our amazing sponsor who made this special episode possible, Masterbooks. When I have questions about God's creation, I reach for books by Masterbooks. When it comes to sensational sea creatures, breathtaking birds, magnificent mammals, busy bugs, or dangerous dinosaurs, Masterbooks uncovers the mysteries and marvels of nature while pointing every detail back to our Creator God. Recently, I have been enjoying their Marvels of Creation 3-book set and Dinosaurs by Design. Find the links to both of those in our show notes. With books for every age, Masterbooks guides readers on an adventure to discovering truth, wisdom, and wonder throughout creation. Take your nature and science curiosity to the next level with trusted books by Masterbooks at the link in our show notes. All right, let's answer some curious questions from you kids. Here is our first question.
My name is Chandler and I'm 6 years old and I live in Arkansas. And I want to know, why are snow foxes white?
What a good question, Chandler. Why are snow foxes white? The snow fox, also called the Arctic fox, has a coat that is very well designed from our thoughtful Creator God. Arctic foxes live in very cold areas like Greenland, Scandinavia, northern Russia, Alaska, and Canada. The places where they live are often snowy and icy, and they can get as cold as negative 50 degrees Fahrenheit. Talk about frigid. The Arctic fox's white coat helps it blend in with its snowy surroundings, which allows it to stay hidden while it hunts. The Arctic fox is an example of God's very good design for another reason also. Its coat changes as the seasons change. In the winter, the Arctic fox's coat is white and extra fluffy, which helps it to stay warm in the cold. But in the spring, when the temperature is warmer and there isn't as much snow, the Arctic fox has a short, thin, brownish-gray coat. This darker coat helps the Arctic fox blend in with the rocks and the dirt. No matter the season, the Arctic fox displays a wonderful design thought up by our brilliant and kind Creator. Thanks for your great question, Chandler. Here is our next curious question.
My name is Ezra. I live in Louisville, Kentucky. I am 10 years old. My question is, how many years do turtles normally live?
What a good question, Ezra. Turtles' lifespans, or how many years they live, can be very different depending on what species or kind of turtle it is. A turtle that you might see in a pond will likely live for around 20 to 50 years. Box turtles, for example, typically live around 25 to 30 years in the wild. God designed large turtles, like sea turtles, to live longer than smaller species. One scientist from the NOAA Southeast Fisheries and Science Center says that the age of sea turtles is difficult to study, but most scientists estimate that sea turtles can live for around 80 years. Tortoises are land turtles, and they can live many, many years. In the year 2022, the Guinness World Records awarded a tortoise named Jonathan the record of the oldest tortoise. It's believed that Jonathan hatched from an egg in the year 1832 and is now around 194 years old. Although some people say he might even be older than that. That is a lot of candles to fit on a birthday cake. Turtles and tortoises are amazing creatures. And how cool is it that God created them to live such long lives? Thank you, Ezra. Stay curious about God's amazing turtles. And if you want to learn more about them, listen to Lesson 31, What is the Difference Between a Turtle and a Tortoise? I'll put that link in the show notes. Here is our next question.
Hi, my name is Joanna, and I live in Michigan, and I'm 6 years old, and I like to know, why is honey sticky?
Joanna, I love this question because I love eating honey, sticky and all. But what makes honey so sticky? Honey is a tasty treat made by bees. It is made through a detailed, multi-step process of teamwork that only God could have designed. Honey begins from a flower's nectar. Bees use a straw-like mouthpart called a proboscis to get the sweet nectar from inside flowers. I actually was just watching this today in my yard as bees were busily buzzing around our cherry tree that just blossomed this week, and they were collecting sweet nectar from the blossoms. After slurping up sugary nectar with their proboscis, the bees store the nectar in a special honey stomach, which is separate from their regular stomach. Inside the honey stomach, the sugars inside the nectar begin to break down. Back at the hive, the bee regurgitates, kind of like spitting up the nectar, and passes it to a worker bee, who then passes it on to another bee. By passing the nectar around, the bees continue to break down the sugars in the nectar. Passing it also reduces the amount of water in the nectar. When it's ready, the nectar gets put into a cell in the honeycomb. Next, the bees fan the honeycomb with their wings to evaporate any leftover water from the nectar. When there is hardly any water left, the honey is ready, and the bees seal the honeycomb cell with wax. The finished product is about 80% sugar and less than 20% water, and that is why it is so sticky. When the bees first collected the nectar, it was like sugary water. But after so much of the water has evaporated out, it turns into the sticky, sweet treat that we enjoy in tea or on toast. What a magnificent and detailed process to create honey. Thank you for your question, Joanna. If you want to dive deeper into a beehive and discover how God designed bees to work together, listen to Lesson 35, Can Bees Dance? At the link in our show notes. Here is our next question.
Hey, my name's Amari, and I'm 8, and I live in Florida. I wonder why if we look at the sun, it will hurt our eyes.
This is an important question, Amari. I love that you asked it. I remember when I was growing up, an adult warned me not to look directly at the sun. And now I give that same warning to my own kids. But sometimes we are told not to do something without being told why. Understanding the danger can help us follow the warning and instruction. So, why should we not look directly at the sun? And why might it hurt our eyes if we do? God designed the sun to give off different kinds of light. One kind is called ultraviolet light, or UV. UV light travels in shorter waves than other kinds of light, so we cannot see UV light just with our eyes. However, God created some animals, including some birds and bees, to be able to see ultraviolet light. When we are exposed to too much UV light, it can cause our skin to burn. This is why your parents or your caregivers might ask you to wear a hat or put on sunscreen when you're at the beach or playing outside. And just like the sun's UV rays can burn our skin, it can also burn the sensitive cells in our eyes in just a few seconds of looking at the sun. God designed the sun to be very powerful, which is why we should always be careful to guard our skin and eyes. But because it is so powerful, it can do many important jobs here on Earth. You can learn about the many ways God designed the sun to support life on Earth in Lesson 112, How Hot is the Sun, at the link in our show notes. Stay curious about God's wild and wonderful world and keep enjoying His sunshine outside. Just take precautions. Here is our next question.
Hello, my name is Sam, and I live in Italy, and I'm 6, and I want to know how kestrels can stay in one spot when they're flying.
Sam, I loved when I heard your question because I love watching kestrels hover in the air. Kestrels are one of my favorite birds to see because of their unique hunting style and because they are a falcon, and we don't get to see falcons very often. Kestrels are around the size of an American robin and are the smallest falcons that we have here in North America. And I was thrilled to discover that you have kestrels over in Italy too. Falcons, including kestrels, are predatory birds, meaning that they hunt for their food. Staying in one spot while flying or hovering helps a kestrel keep their head still so they can search the ground beneath them for prey. God designed kestrels to sort of surf the wind. They fly into the wind at the same speed that the wind is blowing against them, which makes them appear completely still, like they are hovering as we watch them from the ground. Kestrels constantly adjust the shape and angle of their wings and tail to resist changes in the wind. These constant adjustments allow them to remain steady in the air. If you ever look up and see a bird that seems to be hovering in place, you have probably spotted a kestrel, an amazing creature that was thoughtfully designed by God so that it can find and hunt its prey. Thanks for calling in, Sam. Keep learning more about God's incredible birds, including the kestrel. Here's our next question.
My name is Barrett, and I am 7 years old. I live in Louisiana, and I really like your show, Aaron. And my question is, do polar bears have enemies? And if they do, what are they?
Thanks for your fun question, Barrett. Polar bears are the ultimate predator of the Arctic. As adults, they are considered apex predators, which means they are at the top of the food chain. God designed the tough polar bear to survive in their frigid habitat by eating lots and lots of food. In God's original perfect creation, before sin entered in, polar bears did not hunt other animals for food. But God made polar bears to be skilled hunters so they could keep up with their massive diets. Can you guess what the only threat to an adult might be? It is humans. Sometimes people who live where polar bears do will hunt and kill the bears for food. Though no animal hunts adult polar bears, baby polar bears called cubs are sometimes hunted by wolves or even adult male polar bears. If you want to learn more about how God designed polar bears to thrive in the harsh Arctic, listen to Lesson 55, What Color is a Polar Bear? The answer to that question might surprise you. Tune in at the link in our show notes. From sticky honey to hovering kestrels, mighty polar bears to long living turtles, God's creation is full of wonder. Listeners, the more we look at the details of nature, the more we see the wisdom, care, and love of our Creator. Thank you, Chandler, Ezra, Joanna, Amari, Sam, and Barrett, for your great questions. Listeners, stay curious about God's wild and wonderful world, and keep asking your wonderful nature questions. Always keep learning more about the wonders God has made. Why not scroll down to the show notes and click an episode to learn more about one of the creatures that we mentioned today? Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this listener question episode, please take a moment to send it to a friend and subscribe, rate, and review Nat Theo wherever you listen. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world. We are all loved.